Hallelujah. We thank you for power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus that touches us, cleanses us, heals us, causes wholeness in our lives, causes right thinking in our lives in the name of Jesus, helps us to act right. Glory to God. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for liquid love. Hallelujah. That is ever there for us. Hallelujah. That we can apply the blood that causes the enemy to be defeated in our life in the name of Jesus. And we do. We plead the blood of Jesus over each and every person here, over those watching, over this service today in the mighty name of Jesus. If you agree with that, say amen. Hallelujah. Good morning, church. You can greet somebody this morning in the presence of the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Woo! Power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. Hallelujah. Of the Lamb. Glory to God. Praise God. It's so good to see everyone this bright and shining day this morning. Praise the Lord. Welcome to those of you online watching. We'd love to have you join us anytime you can here in the Ogallala area. If you want to find out more about us, our website is vlfc.church. There we have all of our past messages, audio, video, all of our notes are there. You can study. If you're a studier, which we all should be students of the word, right? We could go over the word. It's not the first time you hear it or the second time. And if you think you know it all, well, then you probably better really listen and watch it again because there's always more to find out in the word. Praise God. We are on YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, Instagram. So subscribe, follow, like, and share with your friends. We want to invite friends to church, invite your friends. Praise God. Sundays, doors open at 9. We have pre-service prayer from 9:20 to 9:40, and service starts at 10. So come early for fellowship and coffee. And speaking of prayer, we also have prayer at our house every Friday from 9 to 10. And we doors open at 8:45, and we pray from 9 to 10. And at 10, we're done, and we know that you have your day to go about. And so it's a powerful time of intercessory prayer. We pray for you, the church. We pray for the community, revival and awakening unto God, how the Lord leads. It's an awesome, powerful time of prayer. We learn how to pray, learn how to flow together. And also, we always leave room for the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and we pray for one another. So if you have a prayer request and you come, we all join together and pray. And it's such an awesome time. So we invite you on Friday mornings, as well as also on the second and fourth Thursday of the month, we have a prayer call with one of our Kenneth Copeland ministry intercessors. And that prayer time is 7:15 to 7:45. If you're interested, let me know. And that is specifically praying for our church and our church family and how the Lord would lead. And it's a powerful time of prayer. So how many of you know prayer prepares the way? Hallelujah. It's the earnest, heartfelt prayer that, oh, I got to look it up. James chapter 5, verse 16. I know I say it every time, but in my Amplified Classic, James 5, 16, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. So how many of you want to see tremendous power available? Your prayer is dynamic. Your prayer is working in your lives, in your family's lives. So that's what we're here for. And we're going to see those things work together for our good. And so Wednesday nights, we have home group at our house. Doors open at 6:10. And we meet from 6:30 to 7:30, followed by light refreshment. So come one, come all. And the next two Wednesdays at 6:30, we have two Israel videos that we're going to be watching. And it's called I Am Israel this week and the following Wednesday. So this week is called I Am Israel. And then next week is called The Mountain of the King. And it's followed by light refreshments as well. I Am Israel is a sweeping journey across the promised land, showcasing its breathtaking beauty and the powerful true stories of Jewish men and women returning to the land God promised their forefathers, also known as Aliyah, right? And just as the scriptures foretold thousands of years ago, it's happening right here. So we get to hear the testimonies. We watched the first one. It's absolutely beautiful. We're inviting the church to see that. The second one, I Am Israel, the Mountain of the King, invites you to join the expedition to follow the path of the glory of God from the deserts of the Exodus to the very heart of Jerusalem. Along the way, we're going to meet Jewish men and women who dream of worshiping God on the Mount Zion once again, just as their ancestors did in biblical times. This is the first movie ever made about the Temple Mount, and you will be amazed by what you discover. Praise God.
And praise the Lord. So we're looking forward to this, yeah. Obviously, and as something that we purchased for the church, and we also came with a license so we can show it to the whole church. All right, so we want to have that for us all. But yeah, so the next two Wednesdays, I really want to encourage us to come. So the first video is about 35 minutes long, and then the second one is just a couple minutes past an hour long. And I just know it's going to be a wonderful blessing to us. But also want to make note of that on 19th. So Pastor Paula's birthday is coming up here Tuesday, November 18th. But we want to just take that time after that movie on the 19th to celebrate Pastor Paula. So I know we have a cake for Paula. And we just want to take some time to celebrate Pastor Paula and just let you know we love you. We appreciate you, and you're looking exceptionally beautiful this morning. Well, praise God. But also, I believe we have some handouts over here by the door, but I believe everyone should have got one of these when you came in. This is an itinerary. So just to let you know that Pastor Rodney is going to be going to Israel.
Woo!
Yeah. Yes. So this is coming up on December 1st, which is a Monday. For 1 week, and then I'll come back the following Monday. But this is through Friends of Zion. It's a nonprofit based out of Texas, and I heard about this earlier this year. I was at the Southwest Believers Convention there in Fort Worth, Pastor Paula and I, and then they came up and announced this and said, you know, hey, if you want to sign, this is for pastors, so if you want to sign up, you're eligible. And so you had to go through some, fill out the paperwork and do all of this stuff. So I was selected. Yes.
Yeah.
And so this is a pilot program. And so what they're doing is they're taking 1,000 pastors across the United States. And then we are flying out from four separate destinations. So I'm actually going to be flying out of LA. And so they're paying for it. So they're going to fly us from LA to Jerusalem and put us up there. But this is not a tour. This is a business trip. And so they are there to combat anti-Semitism is a big part of this. Because as you know, most of your mainstream media, for the most part, we're talking about mainstream media outside of Fox News, really most everyone else is pretty anti-Israel, you know, and pro-Palestine. And you've seen all of the stuff on TV. You know, and it's just, it's awful. You know, it really is. And there's, you know, just so much with that. So in the itinerary here, you can kind of see, and I gave it to you so you can follow along, with what, where pastor is, what's going on, but also, be praying, over this time, because we're going to be also going, you know, where they were at on October 7th, we're going to be going there. There's going to be a military debrief to talk about what has happened, but even what's continuing to happen. So even when they started planning this months ago, you know, they were still in the thick of it, which I know they had to come to a peace deal, but that didn't really hold as it would seem. And there's a lot still going on with that, with Hamas. And so that's one part of it. So they're going to be having some meetings about this, but they're also they're going to be speaking to us pastors as to how to come back to our pulpits and through social media to talk about Israel, you know, to share these things and these things that we've known and we've believed in it, and there's plenty of scripture for it. Hey, amen. But really the pastors need to be a little bit more vocal about it. Amen. Because there, you can go to a lot of churches and even just here in town, I've had, you know, just conversations come up with other people and they have a very different view of Israel. you know, and they have some different views where it comes to Hamas and Palestine and all of these things. And it's like, well, I'm not getting into debates with them so much, but it's just like, it's interesting just to hear their points of view. And again, I would dare say for the most part, it's not being talked about in the church. You know, and so all they're left with is what they're hearing on CNN and NBC and, you know, da, 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 da. And again, it's not biblical and it's not good. So what I intend to do is, as much as I can, I'm going to be taking some photos and doing some videos. And then when we get back, we're going to talk about it, you know, and I'm going to have a time probably on a Wednesday night at the house where we can kind of show you some of this footage and talk through it. But also that they said here that, and actually we get to, so a part of this, we are going to get to go and have a communion service at the Garden Tomb. We're also going to get to go to the follow the Via Dolorosa, visiting the Stations of the Cross, and so there are some things that we're going to get to do in there. It's going to be really fun. And so this is my first time to Israel. We've never been, but we intend to go back on an actual tour vacation. But this one is all set for us throughout our day, what we're going to be doing. But at the end of it, we're supposed to have a graduation ceremony with none other than Benjamin Netanyahu. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So if the opportunity arises for pastor to get a selfie, probably won't. But, you know, but in Jesus' name, we just called in. That would be so awesome.
Put that on your
prayer. To meet him. But that would be really cool. So, yes, all I have to do is get to Denver and then catch a flight. And so I'm just so thankful for that they're actually providing all of the rest of it. I've just got to get to L.A. and back. So hallelujah to Jesus. Also, let's see. Yes, also they mentioned here that I guess part of this summit, part of the event is going to be filmed as a national television special capturing key moments, interviews, and highlights. It says it will be aired nationwide in the United States. I do not yet have the details on what that's supposed to look like, but I'm going to try to make sure that I get a hold of that video so that we can play it here for the church to see what's going on. Praise God. So we're really excited about that. So this trip, it's for 1,000 pastors, but they're believing to do this on a continual basis. As many pastors who want to go are able to go and hear and receive this. So, amen. So I get to be a part of the first group. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I'm trying to see if there's anything beyond that. I don't think. Oh, yeah. Our faith projects, our video and equipment package. We presented this here a couple of weeks ago. And this is so that we can have, you know, some better cameras, better equipment, so that we can be able to live stream our services, but to do so in a higher quality and excellence. So we have started, money has been coming in, and we have started ordering that equipment, and we believe to have it all together very soon. Our goal for this was $3,924. Praise God. And we are $815 away from meeting that goal.
So praise God.
Thank everybody who has sowed into this package and into this equipment. And again, this is not something we're just going to be using for today. But even as we grow, even into a much larger building, all of this equipment will scale up with us. So we don't have to rebuy something again later. It could just go with us as we grow. Amen. So thank you, Lord. So I want to invite you. There's a special building fund on the website. So when you go vlfc.church/give, you can select the building fund option to sow directly into that project. Here in the room on your envelope, if you want to sow into that project, just write building fund on it. Praise God.
Praise God. Well, with that, it is offering time. Speaking of the building fund, that's what the Lord, whatever the Lord would lead you to do in that above and beyond. You know, we talk about sowing seeds, what you're believing in for your life, and you sow into this project. Well, name your seed, you know, new house, new car, you know, trip to Hawaii, trip to Israel, something for the kingdom, right? We're sowing this, but there's an eternal reward in it. And that's what we're going to talk about in our offering. So if you want to turn to Philippians chapter 4, verse 14 through 20, and I'm just going to touch on this. This is kind of a part one of part two for the offering. But the reason we give these offering messages, it's not for us, but it's for you. Because, you know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So when we hear about these things, when you sow a seed, you reap a harvest. When you hear about, you know, God, he never spoke about the offering and the tithes without saying what he would do for people. Okay, in Malachi chapter 3, you know, he will open the windows of heaven, pour you out blessings, right? Deuteronomy 28. We're not going to turn to those this morning. That'll be part of probably next week. But we just want to say he's trying to get the blessing to you. And so that's what we're endeavoring to do. That's why we're taking time to talk about the offering, to speak the scriptures about the offering, so our faith can connect. And when our faith is in operation, because our faith is the currency of the kingdom, then we have faith to believe what we're believe for what God's put on our heart to believe for. We have faith for the sowing. We're not just plunking it in the basket. Oh, this is my weekly duty, right? Or I'm just tithing to tithe because God says. No, we want our faith to be active with the offering and with the tithe, and we're going to see the results of that. Philippians chapter 4, I'm actually going to read this in the Passion Translation, so you can just note that. But Philippians 4, verse 10, it says, "My heart overflows with joy when I think of how you demonstrated love to me by your financial support of my ministry. For even though you have so little, you still continue to help me at every opportunity." Verse 11, "I'm not telling you this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be satisfied in any circumstance. I know what it means to lack, and I know what it means to experience overwhelming abundance, for I'm trained in the secret of overcoming all things, whether it's in fullness or in hunger. And I find that the strength of Christ's explosive power infuses me to conquer every difficulty. You've been so gracious, provided for my essential needs during this season of difficulty. For I want you to know that the Philippian church was the only church that supported me in the beginning as I went out to preach the gospel. You were the only church that sowed into me financially. And when I was in Thessalonica, you supported me for well over a year. I mention this not because I'm requesting a gift, but so that the fruit of your generosity may bring you an abundant reward. I now have all I need, more than enough. I'm abundantly satisfied, for I've received the gift you sent by Epaphroditus and viewed it as a sweet sacrifice, perfumed with the fragrance of your faithfulness, which is so pleasing to God. I am convinced that my God will satisfy every need you have. Praise God. For I have seen the abundant riches of glory revealed to me through Christ Jesus. And our God the Father will receive all the glory and the honor throughout eternity of eternities. So don't you see, when you sow into the kingdom, God is getting glory and honor throughout eternity of eternities. You are receiving an eternal reward. And it's the fruit of your generosity that brings you an abundant reward. And so these are the things we want to share with you. It says here, your gifts are a sweet sacrifice, perfumed with the fragrance of your faithfulness. And how many of you know Hebrews 11:6 says, "For it's by faith that it pleases God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God." Praise God. And God is going to supply your every need according to what? Not according to my riches and glory, but according to his riches and glory. How many of you know your Father God? He has streets of gold. Hallelujah. He is not lacking in any good thing, right? We can trust him. He's trying to get the blessing over to us. He's wanting to bless you abundantly so you and your families are blessed. And so that's why when we share these offering messages, we can have faith and know, hey, this life here is short, right? What's the most important thing? that people are saved, giving their lives to God and going to heaven, right? But then furthermore, after that, he's given us power and authority to occupy until he comes. And that's what this church is doing. That's how we're making a difference. And so when you sow into what God's doing, we're not just, it's not just falling to the ground and nothing's happening, right? You have a harvest coming back to you, but people's lives are being touched. That's what we're using the media missions for. That's what we're using this room for. Praise God and bless the Best Western, all the way to the open doors to our building, because our building's going to facilitate the move of God. He's going to use us to facilitate that. So in that building fund, and that Pastor Rodney talked about, this equipment's going to be able to carry on. Even as we expand, it's not something that as we grow, it won't be able to be used anymore. We're going to have other classrooms too and different things like that. So whatever we're sowing into, it's going to be a continued work all the way until Jesus comes. Praise God. So if you are giving this morning, there's an offering envelope under your seat or under the seat in front of you. If you're writing a check, please write it to BLFC. If you're given by cash or card, if you would just fill out the information with your address and all of that on there. If you're given online, the information's on your screen. You can also give on the website, blfc.church/give. And if you're given towards the building fund, just note that so we can put that towards the building fund. And also let's say our offering confessions this morning. If I can find them on here. Praise God. Say this after me. The blessing is working in us, on us, and for us. The Lord is increasing us more and more, us and our children. Seed, we speak to you. Produce a mighty harvest. We are getting our buildings, our lands, and all of our resources. We call every bill paid, every need met. We are furnished in abundance. Angels, go get our harvest. Bring it to us. In Jesus' name. Praise God. I'm going to pray over our offering. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you so much for what you're doing in the lives of the people here. We thank you, Father, that you're a good God and you have good things for us in the life of the church. We thank you, Father, that you're not withholding one good thing from us, but that you're desiring to get everything to us. You're desiring to see needs met. But beyond that, you're desiring to see us live in abundance. Why? So that others can be helped. Our motivation for accumulation is distribution. We want to see people's lives changed. We want to see people's lives delivered and families coming home. Father, we thank you for all you're doing, for meeting the needs of the people. And we thank you, Father, for the open doors of gifts and surprises. Yes, this week, gifts and surprises, things that we know that only that you have done, because we know, Father, you're a good God. And we give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. I thank you for each precious person here and those watching, for the good plans that you have for their life. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you that you're giving them vision, fresh vision today, fresh vision in their hearts and in their minds, in Jesus' name. And if you agree, praise God. If you would pass the offering basket, receive the offering this morning, praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah to Jesus. I'm excited. What a wonderful, wonderful day. Awesome time and privilege to be here with you all. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. We're going to go ahead and just open right into a word of prayer, and then we're going to get into today's message. Father God, we thank you. Oh, we give you glory, we give you honor, and all the praise for every good and perfect gift that you have given unto us in Christ Jesus. Yes, we thank you for it today, and we receive this word. We receive that today is another day, Lord, to receive a word from you. And all we receive in this visitation of the Lord, in this church service today, through your word, the breaking of this bread, we receive wisdom, insight, revelation, knowledge. We receive our healing. We receive our provision in every area of our lives, spirit, soul, body, socially, financially. And Lord, we thank you that you abundantly supply, meet our every need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus through your word. And we take it right now by faith. And if you agree with that, say amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We have been sharing here actually on these last few weeks on Wednesday nights on the subject of faith. Praise God. How many have been to one of those and have been enjoying those? Amen. So going back here on Wednesday nights, we were sharing on faith. But here today on this Sunday, and I believe for the next few Sundays, we're going to continue on this message of faith. Praise God. And so as you know, here in the last couple of months, we on Sundays, we were sharing on the feast days of the Lord. We went through Leviticus chapter 23, which started with the weekly Sabbath, and then the seven annual feast days of the Lord. Praise God. And that was just such a blessing to open that up, because to see Christ, to see the plan of redemption being unfolded by our Father, to see what he has done and what is yet still to come, we have a lot to look forward to, praise God, in Christ Jesus. But here in this subject of faith, Romans chapter 10 is our foundation text in this. And in Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 10 says, "But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach." Amen. And so I just love when I see this, because Paul, when you go back, he says, you know, "I went everywhere preaching the gospel." And what he calls the gospel was Christ and him crucified. And then over here, he says, this is the word of faith. Everything that I've been preaching to you, it's the word of faith. Praise God, the word of faith. So when we see the word of God, this is this Bible, this is the word of faith. Romans 10:17, it goes on to say, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So when you hear the word of God, faith is produced in your heart. Amen. Hallelujah. And what happens when the faith is produced in your heart? He goes on to say here, this is the word of faith that we preach, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The most awesome miracle, praise God, is the new birth. Raising the dead and these things, that's wonderful. But there's nothing that compares to the new birth in Christ Jesus. How you took something that was attached to the sin nature of Satan himself, that man dies, and now God moves in. That is a miracle beyond miracles. Amen? And how did it happen? The most simplest of things. The word was preached. You heard it. Faith is now produced in your heart, and with corresponding action, you rise up and say, "I believe that word." Amen. Despite all natural feelings and circumstances, you rise up and I confess, "Jesus, come into my heart, take my life, do something wonderful with it all for your glory." And in a moment of time, you are changed. In a moment of time, the old man dies, Christ moves in. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Behold, all things have become new." Amen. You are a new creation in Christ. Hallelujah to Jesus. Goes on to hear, say in verse 10, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be ashamed." So simple. So simple. Even a child can do it. And didn't Jesus say it's childlike faith that comes into the kingdom? It's just that easy. Children don't earn their right to be your child. Children don't earn the right to have dinner. Children don't earn their right to live in the house. It's just part of your birthright. And it's something that any good parent provides. God made provision for you and I in Christ Jesus, and all of these goods come with it. Glory to God. So where does faith come from? It comes by hearing the word of God. Now, where does the believing take place? The scripture says, in your heart. Believe in your heart, for with the heart one believes. Let's look at also Mark chapter 11, verse 23. Here's red words, Jesus. He's teaching his disciples here on the subject of faith. He says, for truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes. So again, I'm believing with where? The heart. The subject is the heart. So does not doubt. So I'm not doubting in my heart, right? I'm believing with my heart that what I say will come to pass. I'll have whatever I say. Whatever God has said, whatever he has promised, whatever he has provided for me in Christ Jesus, if I will harmonize with God, if I'll get into agreement with God, if I'll take God's side in the matter, it'll surely come to pass. That's what it's designed to do. The word is designed to bring itself to pass exactly like God said it. Thank you, Lord. This is not in our notes, but Isaiah 55. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. The word of God has all the power in itself to bring itself to pass. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. How does God speak in the earth? Through your mouth, through your lips. Amen. Turn, you're right there, Isaiah. Let me see here. Isaiah 57, verse 19 says, I create the fruit of the lips. Imagine, God says, I create the fruit, that is the desired end result of your mouth. Your victory is in your mouth. When I agree with God, when I take sides with God and I speak his word that he's told me to say, it'll work for me just like it works for him. When God said light be and light was, it worked perfectly. When God says that, hey, by the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. When I choose to believe that in my heart and agree with God and open up my mouth and say, you know what, body? By the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. I call you healed. I call you well. I receive it as mine right now in Jesus' name. You hold fast to that, it cannot be any other way. It cannot and it will not be any other way. Jesus is not a liar. Jesus is not a liar. He said, truly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, what is your mountain today? Your mountain may be your body. Some diagnosis other than what God has diagnosed. You might have a diagnosis in your finances. You might have a diagnosis in your household. You might have a diagnosis in your soul. But God, speak the word. Speak the word. Speak the word. Speak the word to it. It'll work. Speak to that mountain. Get under my feet. Ungodly soul tie, get under my feet. Depression, oppression, whatever oppression, get under my feet. Amen. Cancer, diabetes, whatever you are, get under my feet in Jesus' name. Body, you are healed. You are healed. Now you get in line. You get in line in Jesus' name. Amen. Truly. Truly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. Again, we're talking about today's message is faith is of the heart. With the heart, one believes unto righteousness. With the heart, one believes unto righteousness. With the heart, not the head, not your body. If I'm to believe my body, I'm going to believe the pain. I'm going to believe the weakness. I'm going to believe the infirmity. I'm going to believe that the depression. I'm not believing with my body. I'm not believing with my mind. I believe with my heart. Faith is of the heart. We live our life by faith coming up out of our heart. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. This natural world will always tell you something otherwise, but we choose to believe with God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I want to look at this. What is the heart? What is the heart of man? When the Bible says to believe with the heart, it's not talking about your blood pump. It's not talking about the physical organ, your heart. You don't believe God with your blood pump any more than you believe God with your hand or your foot or your finger. Amen. No, he's talking about something much, much deeper than that. When we see the word heart here, and you'll find this word throughout the Bible, a lot in the New, he'll speak to the heart of man. Amen. So this is conveying this thought. So at this time and place, you know, especially in the Old Testament, people weren't too aware of the spirit of man. Amen. They're aware with flesh and blood. And even today, many people and even many Christians tend to just kind of be aware of the natural realm, the five physical senses. And we kind of put off the spirit man, the real us. So the heart is used to convey this idea of such as the heart of a tree, referencing the core or a center of a tree, or, you know, we use heart to convey the heart of a matter or the heart of a subject or the most important part of a thing. Biblically, again, the heart will refer to the spirit man, which is the center of man's being. Now we see here in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, may the God of peace sanctify you, which means to set you apart completely. And I pray to God that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the scripture clearly delineates that man is a three-part being. And it puts them in the right order. Spirit is first. You are not a body. You are not a soul. You are a spirit. Created in the image and likeness of God, Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us, the triune, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. John 4:24, God is spirit. Now I want to note here, it does not say that God has a spirit. It says God is spirit. Amen. God's not a man. He's not flesh and blood. Now today in the Godhead, we have the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who put on flesh. And he is eternally a God-man. Glory to God. And you and I in Christ Jesus are God-men and God-women. Glory to God. But God the Father is a spirit. And Jesus says here that those who worship him must. That doesn't sound like an option, does it? Must worship him how? In spirit and in truth. Well, if I'm going to worship God who is a spirit, in the spirit, I can't contact God with my body. You don't contact God with your body. You don't touch and contact God with your natural mind. You are a spirit. It is the spirit of man that deals in the spirit realm. Spirit to spirit. Genesis 2:7, God formed Adam, his body, from the dust of the ground. But Adam wasn't that body. That was just a lump of clay laying there in the dirt. Until God breathed himself. He breathed the breath. This is the same ha that God put in Abraham. God inserted himself. He breathed the breath of life, the Zoe life of God, into that body, and Adam became a speaking spirit just like God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So again, we're talking about the heart of man, which is the spirit of man. So again, our spirit man contacts the spirit realm. Our soul is, what is a soul? It is your mind, it's your will, it's your emotions. With this, we contact the intellectual or the emotional realm. And we all are very familiar with our bodies. We contact the physical realm. So again, my soul does not have contact with God. My body does not have contact with God. It is by the Spirit of God who is within me that I communicate with God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Huh. The heart of man, the heart of man. Looking here a little bit further, psychology is the study of the mind that deals with the operation of the mind through the physical senses. Psychology is the study of the mind that deals with the operation of the mind through the physical senses. Psychology will not acknowledge spirit. Years ago, in my early 20s, I was dealing with depression. You know, I was not living for the Lord. I'm out in the world, and I had depression. I mean, in the natural, there was really no reason for me to have depression. You know, I had a lot of things going for me, you know, but still just, you know, just an attack of the enemy. But, you know, I had someone recommend, well, go see this, my psychologist. Okay. And so I went over there, you know, and they sat and we talked for just a little while, and then they pulled out their pad and they write a prescription. And so I went and I took some drugs, and I know for the first 24 hours, I had like this permanent grin just pasted on my face. It was weird. I mean, it was weird, you know. It's like, wow, you know. And then, you know, over time, these things wear off. So what I would find is I would go in once a month, and then they kind of kept changing their prescription around because your body would become used to this particular drug, and then you would have a different kind of drug. And so, again, you're always kind of going through these mood swings and stuff. And again, it's just this weird feeling, you know, but what was the root of what was going on? Was it chemical imbalance? No. Was it something going on in my body? No. Now, there may be those out there, maybe something that is the case, but that was not my case. Amen. By the way, Yes, we plead the blood of Jesus. Amen. But you know, I went through that, and this carried on for about a year. And finally, I said, you know, this is ridiculous. You know, this is not helping me. One of the other side effects of most of those drugs is weight gain. So, you know, I was this nice, slim, and trim, and now I had something to actually be depressed about. You know, I had put on about 50 pounds of weight because this stuff, it puts it on you. You know, and it alters your moods and these things. It just, the root of my problem was in my spirit. The root of the problem was in the spirit, but no psychologist will ever come to you and say, you know what? You've got a demon spirit that's been harassing you, and what you need to do is get free in the name of Jesus. You need to awaken unto the fact you've been made the righteousness of God and that he will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. They will totally ignore the Great Commission. Go into all the world to preach the gospel. And when you encounter the devil, you cast him out in my name. Because that's all Rodney really needed. And I found this some years later when I decided I've come to an end of myself and I gave my life completely to the Lord. There was a peace that came over me. And it's been there ever since. Because I have gone through and encountered, you know, storms happen in life. The same storm falls on the just and the unjust. Now, Jesus gives us a picture of a man who built his house on the sand, on this world, and a man who built his house on the rock, the Word of God. One man, he was destroyed. The other man woke up the next morning. Did we get some rain last night? Unmoved, unfazed. And I have seen that example play out in my life. Storms and stuff that used to toss me around, give you fits, couldn't sleep, wouldn't give you any peace. And it's just like you will come across that same thing. And it's like, this should move me. And I remember how this used to do me, but I can't get mad if I wanted to. I just recognize the Spirit of God on the inside of me, and there's such a peace. Amen. There's such a grace that wasn't there before. But when we build our lives on Him, He will keep us. He said, Isaiah 26:3, I will keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on me. Why? Because you trust in me. Say, I trust you, Lord. And I thank you that you are keeping me in perfect peace. Praise God. As believers, we must develop, not in our psychology, but in spiritology. Amen. In the study of our spirit man, the real us that was recreated in Christ Jesus. You are not what you used to be. I'm not an old sinner saved by grace. I'm a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And I need to discern in my spirit man the real me, so I can now live out of that place instead of out of my head. Faith is not of the head, not of the body. It is of the heart. With the heart, one believes. I want to encourage us. Philemon 1:6 says that the sharing or the communication or that joint participation, or that word was koinonia, of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing that's in you in Christ Jesus. Amen. So in the spirit, I'm coming to the Word of God, and I recognize this is who I am. This is what I have. This is what I can do now that I'm in Christ. And I acknowledge that's the real me. I acknowledge I am the righteousness of God. I acknowledge by the blood of Jesus, I have been eternally cleansed from all unrighteousness. I receive this truth that by His stripes I was healed. I receive that I have all of my needs met according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I acknowledge the greater is He who's in me than he that's in the world. What am I doing? I'm acknowledging by faith who I am in the spirit, not who I, not what I have in this body according to the natural. Because what's true in the spirit will override the natural. If we will believe it in our heart and hold fast to our confession of faith. Hidden man. Amen. So the hidden man of the heart, the Bible says in Romans 7:22, this is Paul writing to the church at Rome. He says, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. I could tell you right now, and we know this, the flesh does not delight in the law of God. The flesh is in enmity against the law of God. But Paul says, I delight in the law according to the inward man. And the inward man is in perfect harmony with the Spirit of God, with the Word of God. So the inward man, it is our spirit man. And again, it's through the Spirit we delight in His Word. Praise God. Our flesh does not. But this is a battle that you and I are called to fight. The good fight of faith, glory to God, and that is to bring our flesh under in subjection to our recreated spirit man in Christ Jesus. Praise God. So again, whatever the Word says about me, that's how I am. If my body says I'm sick and the Word says I'm healed, well, whose report are you going to believe? I choose to believe God in the face of circumstances, in the face of in the natural and insurmountable mountain be gone in Jesus' name. The Word says you're done with. The Word says you're gone, and I call you gone in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. 2 Corinthians 4:16, for this reason, we do not lose heart. Say, I am not losing heart. Praise God. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. Amen. So again, the Bible is making a distinction between the outward us, which is our flesh. So what you'll see this a lot of times, the outward man, or what you'll see in the New Testament, this word flesh. He's speaking of your soul and your body. So he puts these two together, just say flesh. Flesh and spirit. Flesh and spirit. Thank you, Lord. Our inward man is our spirit man. Again, our spirit man has a soul. But our inward man is not a soul. Our inward man is the spirit man. That's the real you. That was the part of you that was born again in Christ Jesus at the new birth. So I am a spirit. I have a soul. And currently we live in this physical body, soon to put on a glorified body. Praise God. Paul goes on to write here in 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I discipline my body. And bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. So again, Paul calls his body an it, separating himself, the I or the me, the spirit man, from it, the body. Paul says, again, just in this one sentence, I myself, to identify himself separately from his body, which he refers to something that he or the real man or something the spirit man possesses. Paul says that with this, with the spirit man, the I myself, that he does something with his body. He says, I bring it into subjection. Amen. So again, we live from the inside out, not the outside in. Far too often, we put this in reverse. Well, my body feels, so I agree with the body. My soul feels, so I'm going to agree with the feeling. But he says, no. No, I put this flesh under. Under what? Under the spirit man, according to truth. Again, Jesus, red words. God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. I live out of this spirit man according to the truth that is in Christ Jesus. I'm not considering any other feeling, any other thought, any other report other than something to be conquered and put on. Say amen or oh me. Glory to God. Romans chapter 8:5, verses 8:5-9. For those who live according to the flesh. Again, he's writing to church folks. He's writing to the saints. He's not writing to unbelievers. He says, for those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally or naturally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Again, Jesus, John 10:10, the thief comes but to steal, kill, and to destroy. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That is the spirit life, the real life, the victory life. I've come to give it to you. And he did his part. To be carnally minded is enmity or against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor can be. So this natural mind, this natural body, left to its own devices, will not submit to God. It will submit to its own desires. We know this. Amen. Thank you, Lord. He said, but Paul says, I must bring it under subjection, lest I should become disqualified. Again, Romans 8, verse 8. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. There is nothing about your flesh that is pleasing to God, except when you put it under. Verse 9, but you are not in the flesh. Say, I'm not in the flesh, but I am in the spirit. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. The spirit of God dwells in you. At the new birth, the spirit of God dwells in you. You are not flesh. You are a spirit according to the image and likeness of God, and you have flesh that needs to come into subjection to your heart, to your spirit man, according to the truth. He goes on to say, now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Amen. Now, we all know that we have, everyone in this room I know is born again, and the Spirit of God is in you, and now we have a direction from the head of the church how we're to live this life. If you want to see victory, this is how you're going to do it. If you don't, just keep living according to the flesh, and you're going to get the wages of that. And the wages of sin is death. And now you can make it to heaven, but you can get there a whole lot sooner and a whole lot. Well, amen. Thank you, Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17, 18. This is the Amplified Classic. I want to encourage us because there's victory. There is victory. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. That is emancipation from bondage and freedom. This morning, where's the Spirit of the Lord at? He's in you. The Spirit of the Lord is in you. Well, if he's in you, the Bible's telling you there is liberty. There's emancipation from freedom. There's no more bondage in the Spirit. Christ is not in bondage to anybody, anyone, or anything. Christ is not subjected to anyone or anything. Christ has already defeated hell, death, and the grave. And that same Spirit lives in you and I today. Hallelujah to Jesus. Verse 18, and all of us, as with unveiled face, because we continued. Now, here's the key. We continued. I didn't just once upon a time get saved and say, well, that's it. I got my fire insurance. We're good to go. No, no. Because we continued to behold in the Word of God. As in a mirror, the glory of the Lord are constantly being transfigured into his very own image and ever increasing splendor and from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So I love this. He says, we're to continue beholding. Look at this. So when you look into a mirror, what do you see? A reflection of you. He compares that to the Word of God. When you look into the, so John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He says, now when you behold and you're reading this Word, he's saying you're reading about you. You're beholding in a mirror the real you. This is revealing to me who I am, what I have, what I can do now that I'm in Christ Jesus as the sons and daughters of God. This is me. I'm looking into a mirror, and the more I behold, the more I become just like him. Now, the truth is in your spirit. You're exactly like him. At the new birth, the fullness lives in you right now. I can't change that. There's nothing I can do to add to or take away Christ in me. But I can do it. I have everything to do with how much I'm going to live in agreement with that. I can continue to live out of my flesh and get the same defeated results as the rest of the world gets. Or I can choose to believe God. I can choose to take sides with God. And he says, the more you behold, the more you become just like him. And you are constantly being transfigured into the glory of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah to Jesus. It's up to you. How much do you want? How much do you want? Do you want 1%, 5%, 10%? Amen. It's your choice. I encourage you. Reread our Bibles every day. But when we read it, we're reading it by faith, not to gain head knowledge, but I'm on purpose looking at this. Oh, that's me. And that's me. Yes, I know you're talking about Father. I know you're talking about Christ, but Christ is in me, and that's me. I'm finding myself in the Word, and I'm agreeing with who I am in Christ. So again, in the New Testament, there's roughly 180 references in Christ, by Christ, through Christ. Amen. In him, in whom? Every time you see those, again, highlight, underline it, meditate it, read it over, confess, and turn it into a confession. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Oh, what does, now I have this situation and I can do all things through Christ. So Holy Spirit, show me what that looks like. Allow, so again, John 16:13, how be it when he, the Spirit of truth has come, he will lead you and guide you into all truth. He'll take this truth and make it personalized in your situation. What does this look like in my life? What does this look like in my finances? What does this look like in my body? What does it look like? Acts 16:31, me and my whole household shall be saved. Show me how to, give me a picture of this. Show me how to walk this out as I ought. That's what he's there to do. He's here to give you that picture and then give you the steps as to how to walk it out in victory. Glory to God. The fix is in, y'all. The fix is in. Hallelujah. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. Revelation knowledge. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 14. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the Spirit of man which is in him? So God is Spirit. He's revealing, he's speaking things to us by his Spirit. And which part of us is going to receive that? The Spirit of man, which is in us. Likewise, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Amen. So the same Spirit that is God is in us today. 1 Corinthians 6:17, he who is joined to the Lord is one Spirit with the Lord. It's not a different Spirit. It's the same Spirit. And the same Spirit that God is, the same Spirit that's speaking is designed for you and us to hear from him, to know this is Father, and he and his word are one and the same, and so am I in Christ. This is how this is supposed to be. This is how this is supposed to function. He's speaking it to it. He's revealing it to us by his Spirit. Praise God. Again, verse 12, now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is in God or of God, so that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. We're to know what's freely given, freely given, freely, freely, freely. It's free. It's free. Grace is provided. Grace is provided. Jesus is grace, and grace has freely given you salvation. Freely given you all that's encompassed in the salvation package. Total and complete victory, spirit, soul, body, socially, financially. It belongs to you right now in Christ Jesus. If the only reason you're not partaking of it is because you've not received it into your heart by faith. Holy Spirit has already done it. And he's revealing it to us. This is why we're coming to have our minds renewed to discover this is who I am, this is what I have, this is what I can do, and this is what I'm now going to do and receive this victory now that I'm in Christ. And no more. I mean, again, Romans 5:17 says that we are to reign in life through one Jesus Christ. Meditate on that. Every situation, I'm supposed to reign. I'm supposed to reign in this financial situation. I'm supposed to reign over this temple. This temple is not supposed to toss me around. I'm not supposed to be in bondage to this flesh. No, this flesh should be in bondage to my spirit man. It should be dominated by my spirit man. This is the right order. And when we get it in that order, victory, 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 faith to faith, glory to glory, victory to victory to victory to victory. Jesus modeled this. But he didn't say, I'm the only one, boys. No, he said, even greater works shall you do because I go unto my Father. How are you going to do it? The same way he did it, living by the Spirit. I only say what I hear Father say. I only do what I see him do. I'm not considering the impossibility of 5 loaves and 2 fishes feeding the multitude. I just take it to God. And I receive, Father, you said, bless the people. You said, feed the people. So here's what we're going to do. And I heard from God. We're going to break it. We're going to bless it. And it's going to multiply. Whatever the situation is, God is more than enough. He's already provided for us in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. But verse 13, these things also we proclaim, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. Let me say that again. These things also we proclaim, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches. You can't get this by man's soul realm, intellectual realm, body realm. You're only going to get this by the Spirit of God. He says, but by which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he, because they are spiritually discerned. So again, we've mentioned this in times past when witnessing over the years, you witness to people on the street. We do not go and try to convince them in their head of salvation. The head doesn't get this. Head does not discern that there is a spirit realm or that there is a God or that I need salvation. Don't do that. Go preach the gospel. Jesus said, go preach the gospel to all the world. The word of God is alive. It is active. It will produce that image. It will produce that picture. It will produce, oh, I need to be saved. And Jesus is that Savior. And so we don't go try to reason with people's heads. We just go and simply inject the gospel message into their spirit man. And so many times you'll just see it. And we just lead them in confession. I don't go and try, you know, we take the Romans road. You know, every man has sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. He's given us salvation as a free gift. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So pray this prayer with me, Father God. And we just start praying and we're asking Jesus to come into our hearts, take our life and do something with it. I'm not considering your head. I'm speaking to your spirit. And I'm injecting the word of God into your spirit man. And now I'm asking your spirit man to respond. As so many times that you'll see them and you can see the whole change take place because the head is totally unaware of even what's happening. And it happens this fast. And then all of a sudden you'll see them afterwards that they're starting to try to reason out what happened. Oh, you know, and praise God, amen. The head, this doesn't make sense to the head. This is foolishness to the head. But I'm not dealing with your head. I'm dealing with your spirit. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Speak the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. God is a spirit. Man is a spirit. One spirit with the Lord. Again, the word of God is foolishness to the natural mind, and it cannot be understood by it, for it can only be spiritually discerned and received by our spirit man. So again, Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And you sow the word of God by faith, knowing that it's going into their spirit man, that they may start responding out of their head. And but that's not the real them. The word of God has been sown into their heart. And we believe for a harvest of that word to spring up. Thank you, Lord. But just keep preaching the word. Just keep preaching the word. They say on average, someone has to hear the gospel 7 times before they respond. Now, again, some people hook up on the first time, some people on the 50th time. But on average, 7 times, someone has to hear the gospel message before they will actually respond to it in faith. Amen. But the word is alive and active. It's working the whole time. It's working the whole time. Thank you, Lord. So again, when we hear and meditate on the word, we must realize that God is the word and that the word is alive and it is literally God speaking to me. And it contains all of the faith of God, which contains the creative power of God to manifest what he says. Hebrews 4:12, I reference this in our notes. I'm just going to read it to us here quickly. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and powerful. It's alive. It's active. It's powerful. It's full of power. Hebrews 1:3 says, he is even to this day upholding all things by the word of his power. The word of God, it's alive, it's active, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Glory to God. So when we hear and meditate on the word, we must realize that God is the word. The word is alive, and this is God speaking to me. This is God speaking to me, and it contains all of the faith of God to bring itself to pass. So again, the same God, the same word that says light be, light was, and is still being upheld to this day, that same word power, that same God is in me and in every word. By his stripes you were healed. That contains all of the creative power of God himself that is upholding this universe. So what is cancer upside of that kind of power? What is pain upside of that power? Are you kidding? Amen. The power that it created, okay, just think about the earth. That created this earth, much less the rest of the universe, is in this word to meet your needs. He can take care of your rent by Friday. Seriously? Well, what's $1 million to God? He created the $1 million. He created all things. Amen. It contains the creative power to bring itself to pass. So we, you and I, by faith, we are to take ownership. We take ownership of every word that God is speaking to us for ourselves. When you take ownership, that's my word. That's not just God speaking out here in the universe. That's my word. That's my God. That's my daddy. That's my Lord. That's Christ in me. This is mine. My body and the diagnosis and everything around me may be speaking pain, sickness, disease, terminal. But God, I consider not, I consider God. I own that word. I'm not owning that report. I own the report of the Lord, and the report of the Lord says, I'm healed. So I want to thank you, Lord. I believe I receive. Mark 11:24, Jesus went on to say, whatsoever things you desire or you ask for, that word ask really means to place a faith demand. Whatever you make a demand of, Father, I see that your word, what you have provided for me in Christ Jesus, and now I take it. I take by faith. I own this. That's mine. That's mine. From this moment forward, I'm free. Soul, you're free. Body, you're well. Bills, you're paid. From this moment forward, I receive. I own this. It's mine. Faith is taking ownership of what God has said. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Lord. The just shall live by faith. Faith food. The word is faith food. Romans 1:17 says, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just or the justified shall live by faith. Amen. It's not an optional. It's not optional to live by the Spirit. It's not optional to live according to the flesh. It's not optional to live according to my thoughts and my feelings and what mama said and what doctor said. No, I live by faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have the God kind of faith. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew 4:4-10-11. This is Jesus. This is he. So he's been fasting for 40 days out in the wilderness. And now the devil comes to him and he says, he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The word is faith food. The word is faith food. The word is faith food. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so whatever God has said, that's how I live my life. That's how I order my life. Then Jesus said unto him, verses 10 and 11, get away from here or get behind me, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him. Amen. What is he saying here? Get away from here, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship. So again, John 4:24, those who worship must worship in spirit out of my spirit man and truth. What is truth? Thy word is truth. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. I'm not serving my mind. I'm not serving this body. I serve God according to spirit and according to truth. And the devil left. Let it be written of you and I. Let it be written the same of you and I. This was attacking me, but I held fast to the word. I didn't give place to the devil by considering, and the devil left. James 4:7, submit to God. God is the word. Submit to his word. Submit to the truth. Resist the devil. How am I resisting the devil? Just like Jesus. Satan, it's written. By his stripes, I was healed. Now you get out of here in the name of Jesus. I cast you out. Don't you ever come back in Jesus' name. I receive. I'm healed today. And the devil leaves. James 4:7, submit to God, submit to the word. With that word, you resist the devil, he'll flee from you. The same as he did from Jesus. Jesus just modeled it. James goes on to say, no, it's the same way for you and I today. It's the same spirit. It's the same God. It works the exact same way. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. The word of God is alive, and it is faith food to our spirit man. Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Now, interesting, my people, we know the rest of the world, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So again, once you and I have been born again, you contain all of the victory that Christ has won. It's in you. It's in you, waiting for you to activate it by faith and receive it and start living it. Again, the just shall live by faith according to the new man. So ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance will get you killed. Ignorance will take you out early. Ignorance will leave you broke. Ignorance will leave you in bondage, but not so for the children of God. Not so for the sons of God. We're to reign in life through one Jesus Christ. As we behold in a mirror, we are becoming. Amen. More and more victory, 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 victory. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. We're closing here. I've got more notes, and I'm not going to get through them today, but just take them home. Study them online. I'm going to leave them up there for you. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not. Amen. Say, I'm trusting in the Lord with all my heart. And I'm leaning not to my own understanding. Amen. To believe with the heart means to believe apart from what the soul and body are telling you. And your body and soul have a voice, and they're always speaking, and you're aware of them. We're not to yield to them. Lean not. Consider not. Consider not. Speak to that and command it to line up in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Most believers, over my years, I've seen it. Most believers practice this scripture in reverse. They trust with all their understanding and lean not to their own heart. In a lot of cases, again, it's the psychology they're not even acknowledging. They're seemingly unaware. They put off, you know, well, salvation one day in the sweet by and by when we all get to heaven, we'll get all this sorted out. In the meantime, we're just doing the best we can. And they're living in ignorance, and they're being destroyed day by day. That's not what God has for us. Salvation includes your victory, spirit, soul, body, socially, and financially. But again, if you remain ignorant of it, you'll never partake of what really belongs to you. Thank you, Jesus. He goes on to say, verse 7 and 8, do not be wise in your own eyes. That's a word. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Huh. Now get this. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. So again, do not be wise with natural knowledge that exalts itself against the truth. If we do, then we are taking sides against God and his word, and we're cutting ourselves off from the life of the word. So again, the word of God, it's alive, it's active, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to go and to minister. But if we take sides against it, and we're cut off from it. But that's not what God has for us. Thank you, Lord. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not natural, but they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, or into subjection to your spirit man recreated in Christ. We take every thought. We do not entertain thoughts. You may be living well today. Well, what if you got sick? Well, what if you lost your job? What if this? I don't entertain that thought. I don't play the what if game. No, I already know how it's always going to turn out. I'm walking and living in divine health because I was healed. Job, no job, that job's not my source. God's my source, and he's already met all of my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I don't play with that thought. I speak to that thought. I bring it captive where? To the obedience of Christ and to that truth that's in Christ. We don't play with thoughts. We bring them captive. And so doing, we tear down the demonic strongholds and we build up God's strongholds in our life. And praise God, the gates of hell will not prevail against the truth. Praise God. So Hebrews 4:1-3, therefore, since the promise of entering his rest remains, let us fear lest any of you should seem to come short of it. Man, we don't want to come short of his rest. Verse 2 says, for the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. Again, he's talking to the Israelites back in the desert. But the word preached did not benefit them because it was not mixed with faith with those who heard it. They heard it. They mentally agreed with it. Oh, okay. But they didn't believe it in their hearts and act on it in faith. He says, because it was not mixed with faith in those who heard it, it was no benefit. So we can have a church, and one by one, we can all sit here and we can all hear the same message, those of you online. And if you choose to mix faith with it, it's going to benefit you. And if you don't choose to mix faith with it, it won't be any benefit to you. Same anointing, same word. We get to decide. Glory to God. Verse 3, for we who have believed in our hearts, amen, have entered this rest. As he has said, as I sworn in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. However, his works have been finished since the creation of the world. The word of God in Christ Jesus is a finished work. Salvation is finished. Provision, peace, healing is finished. Jesus said on the cross, it's finished. I fulfilled it. I am the fulfillment. I am the Christ. In me, all men live. Amen. Glory to God. So again, our work as a believer, the believer's labor is to enter his rest by mixing faith with what he has finished for us in Christ, while at the same time considering not the things of the world, considering not flesh. An example of this, thank you, Lord, Romans 4:20, this is Abraham. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded. There's that fully persuaded, believing with his heart that what God has promised, he was able to perform. Remember this in closing. If you want to walk by faith, the word of God, it must be the first and final authority in your life. First and final authority. Praise God. Pastor Paula, would you come on up? And let's go ahead and let's all stand together. Do you have anything?
Awesome word. Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Yes, actually, I would ask Brenda to come up. I want her to share her testimony.
Okay.
I wanted to give room for that.
Yes.
Well, the Lord does. Maybe here. Right here, maybe. Give me just a second and I'll pull this off. About the outfit.
So about, I guess it was about 3 months ago, I went to Paula and her mom to pray over. One morning I had got up and there was a knot on my wrist and I had them pray over it. And on my way home that day from church, I started praying about it. And I thought about going to the doctor just to have it looked at. And the Spirit said to me, do not go to the doctor. You pray over that and you go home and find healing scriptures and you continue to pray that way. That's what I did. This Wednesday morning, I got up and it's gone.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Glory to God. Thank you for sharing that. So what I wanted to share about that is the word is working continually, right? We believe to see those instant miracles in the lives of the people. Amen. We believe to see the instant manifestations, and we have seen the instant manifestations. But when we speak the word, it is going to work. And so you don't give up because there's time in between. Praise God. So praise God for that healing anointing.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just checking on something here. I want to share this testimony that we got from an online viewer, faithful online viewer and partner of the ministry. And this is from Oklahoma. It said, last Sunday, I was listening to the teaching of the word at my local church. The minister was encouraging people to come forward for prayer. We were told we do not know the outcome, but we know God will see you through it and be there on the other side. I have been thanking God for the healing promised in many scriptures, and I know it is his will and that healing is mine. Afterward, for a few minutes, I felt confused, and the Lord led me to YouTube where I found a short message with Pastor Rodney teaching how to walk by faith. It helped me, and I heard it over and over. I felt so blessed and encouraged and knew, yes, and healing is a finished work. We know the outcomes. Praise God. So I would just want to share this with us because the word is going forth. And the word is going forth, amen, beyond this room, beyond these walls. So I want to encourage us all. And we are recording these so that we can go back and not just here in the room, but those online, but so we can go back and feed on these and feed on these and feed on these. Amen. Faith comes by hearing and by hearing and by hearing and by hearing. And when you can listen to this, and I've done this over the years. I have taken messages of faith and different things and heard them 50 times right in a row. I mean, literally just put that message on repeat and heard it over and over. And I'm not kidding. I would hear a revelation and something I didn't hear the time before. And then I would hear it again as something more and something more. And then I heard, I mean, literally like the 30th or 40th time, I'm hearing something like I heard it for the first time. And I'm like, wait a minute. I didn't know that was in there. But you had to receive at this level so that you could be qualified to receive at that level so that you can receive at that level because that same word was there all the time. I didn't have the capacity to receive at that level until I had heard and heard and heard. Amen. So keep hearing the word. So again, these are here not so that folks can just skip church, but so that we can go back and feed on the word again and again and again, amen, to see that victory come. But this blessed me, and I just wanted to share it with us because the word is working. Amen. It's working here in our lives, but it's working all across the world as well. Amen. We just believe for more of it. Praise God. But the word says, as we started here in Romans 10, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You believe it in your heart, you confess with your mouth, you're saved. So let's all pray this together. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I believe. That Jesus is your son.
That Jesus is your son.
That you sent him to this earth.
That you sent him to this earth.
To take my place.
To take my place.
Bear my sin.
bear my sin.
On the cross.
On the cross.
Jesus.
Jesus.
I confess you now.
I confess you now.
As my Lord.
As my Lord.
And my Savior.
And my Savior.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
Take my life.
Take my life.
Do something wonderful with it.
Do something wonderful with it.
All for your glory.
All for your glory. Amen. Hallelujah.
Praise God. We believe that if you pray that prayer for the first time, you are saved. You're eternally in the kingdom of God. And we just received, amen, the blessing of the Lord is on our lives.
Hallelujah.
Now, we're going to dismiss online so that we can offer prayer here in the room. But if you need prayer for anything, reach out to us, contact us. If you have a testimony, let us know. We want to rejoice with you. But in the meantime, know this, that God loves you. We love you. And you know, we are living in victory.